The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
What time is this?
The face that runs the place.
You need Roman to be out of the main title picture for a little while. You give him a break. This is the only way you're possibly going to get the crowd to do anything but boo him, is give him a break.
I'm the greatest wrestler in the world.
It was exciting to see, because it kind of reminded me of reading Rainbow a little bit.
All he needed was LeVar Burton to come in there.
This would have definitely got a, you know, 5-star pay-per-view for me.
Show of the year.
Yeah, show of the year.
This didn't happen by accident. Charlotte and a lot of people and Nia Jax are just on my case telling me that I don't deserve this. Charlotte called me a paper champion tonight. WrestleMania means a lot to me. Not only do I have family and friends, and it's my first WrestleMania I'm walking in as champion, but I'm going to prove to everybody that I'm deserving of this title.
Ladies and gentlemen, wrestling to the mat.
And your hosts, Gary Vaughn, Sean Garmer, and Paul Leeser.
Welcome, everybody, to Wrestling to the Max, episode 240. Yeah, that's right. And this is WrestleMania week, and this is part one of our show. Of course, don't forget to make sure you go and check us out on W2Mnet.com. Also, if you want to go find out all of our other great content when it comes to audio, make sure you go check out us at Wrestling to the Max on any device that you have or anything that you use to listen to podcasts. Make sure, like, you know, on iTunes or Stitcher, you go subscribe to Wrestling to the Max, and it'll get you all the great content that we have to offer, like our Raw review we just did tonight. Also, SmackDown Live, which will be really important leading up to this WrestleMania 33. Also, don't forget, you know, NXT Orlando is right around the corner, so this NXT review this week will be really important to listen to as well. So make sure you go check that out and, you know, get involved, because trust me, lots of great content coming your way. Of course, I'm your host, Gary Vaughn. Along with me is Mr. Paul Leeser.
Heyo.
And, of course, we will have Sean Garmer on with us, too. He is actually having to use his phone, and we're going to get him on board here in just a few seconds. But, you know, he's having some internet issues, so we're going to be getting on, you know, getting it with him pretty soon here. But needless to say, we are excited about this week. We've got a lot of cool stuff coming up, and we'll be talking about all the great content that you guys are really, you know, wanting to hear. But one thing I will say is we have some shows this week that are going to be really relevant. And what I mean by that is there's some stuff that you're wanting to, you know, of course, know. And that is our predictions for WrestleMania, our predictions for NXT TakeOver, all that stuff. Trust me, you're going to get a chance to hear it. We're going to do all that on part two. So if you were looking forward to your WrestleMania preview tonight, you're not going to get it just yet. We're going to hit some pretty awesome news topics tonight. We're going to talk about Asuka, you know, maybe her future with the company. We're also going to be talking about Eva Marie as well. So those are two names that you've heard. We are also going to be talking about, you know, what's going on with Alberto Patron and Paige. That's right. There's more stuff out there about them. So you don't want to miss a minute of that. Trust me, it's going to be really cool to hear some interesting information when it comes to them and the company that they blame for all those videos. Yeah, trust me, they have someone to blame for it besides, you know, hacking. It's pretty interesting. Also, don't forget that, you know, we're also going to be talking a little Ring of Honor tonight. We'll also be talking about those Ring of Honor rumors with WWE. Yeah, that's right. We have some confirmation about all that. So Don't miss a minute of it. You're not going to want to, trust me. Also, we'll be talking about Supercard of Honor. That's right. That show's coming our way this week as well. So we've got a full show ahead of us, and we're excited about it. But yeah, I think we finally got Sean back with us, man. What's going on, Sean?
What's up?
And yeah, I mean, we, you know, Sean, I know all of us are really excited about this, you know, WrestleMania week. It's been coming up as sooner than we expected, I think, because for me, it was like, oh, it's still a little ways away. And all of a sudden, man, it's right in our face. The ultimate thrill ride is in your lap, Sean.
Yeah, certainly. I think the...
I'm sorry. I just I went to Gary After Dark right there. I apologize.
I didn't say Paige was in his lap. I said the ultimate thrill ride.
Wow. I don't want to touch that one because, you know, maybe Mr. Patron will show up at my house.
But you say now, Perro, I heard what you said on your radio show.
It's like, what's this about, Paige? Don't need to stop spreading rumors. yeah, it's, you know, 4 hours away from me. Too bad I can't go this time. Last year was just, it would have been way less expensive, I think, than last year, but I still would have had to get hotel and everything, and who knows, it may cost even more. So I think it's better just to watch it from home.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way. I really had a great time last year. But I was thinking to myself, you know, all, getting out there, spending all that money, and I've got a lot of other things coming up in my personal life that I'm spending some money on. So I'm like, man, it's a big investment. And you know, I know, Paul, you probably considered it. But, I mean, it's you know, it's kind of tough sometimes just to blow your entire, you know, financial situation on WrestleMania.
Yeah, I was considering even last year whenever they announced all the indie shows, the More Than Mania stuff, which we're going to talk about the insane amount of shows you can see out there if you're going or if you're just hanging out at home. But yeah, like a lot of the independent shows had my attention. And if you are out there going to those, I don't envy you trying to plan a schedule because there are some incredible shows out there and so many of them are all at the same time.
Yeah, it's amazing, man. I mean, I really wanted to hit up a lot of those shows last year, and this year they've amped it up even more. And I want to say this, too. I'm still surprised that Jim Ross is going to still do his shows out there in Orlando. I don't know how he's going to do it. I don't know if I could if I was in his situation, but that shows a lot about, you know who he is, his character, and he's standing up and doing it, but I know it's not an easy time for him. So, I mean, there's just so much to do, but that was one of those situations I thought, well, someone may be freed up because he'll probably cancel. Nope, he's sticking with it. So, but yeah, we'll be talking about a lot of those shows and, you know, trust me, a lot more about WrestleMania week. Let's go ahead and get into some quick hits real quick. And then, of course, like I said, don't forget, we all were talking about Ring of Honor and Supercard of Honor as well later on. Let us start off. We were already talking about Paige and Alberto Patron. Yeah, I know we were just joking about them, but the honest truth is these guys actually have an interesting situation going on once again because of the fact that they are actually doing a show, they're actually doing a bunch of other stuff, you know, but right now they're going to do something that's, I think, more important to them, and that's get married. And they're getting married on WrestleMania week. They're going to get married on Wednesday, they just announced. And this is in the face of a lot of things. One of all, Patron's still married, which is kind of weird. But not only that, Alberto Patron sent out this tweet, and he's basically blaming WWE for all their problems with Paige and that they're the ones that are behind the videos getting leaked and all these pictures getting leaked and all this kind of stuff. And it's a big, huge mess. And I don't know why this is happening, but apparently, you know, they're going to go ahead and get married in a hurry and let this all take place. But Paul, I mean, I'm a little bit baffled. I mean, my goodness, are they doing this just to shove this in people's face?
There's a large part of me that thinks that they are doing this to sort of shove in people's face. I don't even know how it's going to work with Patron isn't even officially divorced from his previous wife yet, and now he's going to try to tack on an extramarriage, which would make theirs illegal. So, I have no idea how this is going to work out, let alone where he gets the idea that WWE would want to damage one of its potential stars. I don't know whether they had any intention to bring Paige back anymore or not, but the fact that they would be the ones to leak it is just... I find that very outrageous. So, the crazy train is strong over there on that side of the wrestling world.
What do you think, Sean, about all this stuff going on with the Patron and Paige?
I mean, it's more stuff added to the fire, you know, right? It's just with these guys, you never know what you're going to get. And, I mean, I think I can understand from their point, and I can understand from Patron's point, too, of, well, you know, some catastrophic thing just happened to Paige. She's not, you know, feeling the best. Let's overcommit to get her back on track, you know. And, I mean, they were already engaged anyway. This kind of seems like the thing to do for them. We right up their alley, and hopefully, you know, he gets that other marriage thing resolved, because it is technically illegal for you to be married to two people. Mm-hmm. And you can't just decide to nix the other marriage because you want to. You have to get that one completely, you know, divorced out and everything else. So, I mean, technically, I guess they could do the whole ceremony and not sign any papers. So,
yeah,
there's that, too.
Yeah, I mean, they could play house. And there's no problem with that if they want to do that. I mean, a lot of people do.
I mean, technically, you already are, right? And then he just signs a paper. And then all of a sudden, okay, well, the thing changes. Obviously, it's much different. But for him, the first time around doesn't seem to be a big deal, so.
Yeah, I mean, it just, you know, the way it works sometimes, and I think, you know, you have a point there, Sean. You know, with everything that Paige has gone through and the rumors going around that she's been close to suicide and the stress level for her has been out the wazoo, I get it. You know, this is a way to have some healing for all the different things that, you know, have been, you know, in front of her, like, you know, the judgment and, of course, you know, the career and all those other things that are kind of whirling around in her mind. And, you know, of course, the disappointment maybe she feels because of her family. This gives her a little bit of that healing power because, you know, her fiance wants to be her husband. And even if they don't legally have that, you know, piece of paper that says they're married, I think that at least she can feel like she is. And that'll give her some peace of mind, you know. On the other hand, I want to say this, Paige, count yourself lucky, though, because, you know, you never know. I mean, this may be a blessing in disguise if, you know, Patron doesn't work out. I mean, you don't have to worry about any of those other legal ramifications. So,
yeah, they got a little bit of time to, you know, like you said, play house and see how it goes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, go ahead.
I mean, they're already around each other like 24/7, so I don't really know how much more, you know, they're going to really be able to have to test anything, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But once again, it's just like we were talking about. It's more about the feeling, I think, that it gives them instead of really what it really means. So, and that's, hey, if that works for them, that's great. I just think this whole thing is it's just a fiasco. It's all crazy. It's all out
there. I just hope, like, Paige doesn't wake up one day and go, what am I doing? And it all falls apart even more than it already is, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look, I don't want to be on, this is not a relationship show, but I'm just saying, like, I don't want to sit here and just bash their being together thing. Because, you know, look, if they're genuinely happy and everything, hope it all goes well and hope it lasts and all that good stuff, but there's always that thing in the back of your mind, right? That's just considering where Paige is at and all the things she's gone through. Is this one of those things that's just happening because of that? And then, you know, that happens. You wake up a year later and you go, what the hell am I doing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is so true, Sean. And, you know, we shouldn't judge. It's just a situation, I think, you know, we have a little bit of fear because of the things that Patron has been through and maybe done. And I think, you know, we really worry for Paige. At least I do in this situation because she's still young. And maybe she doesn't know, but then again, I mean, this could be the best love story of all time. You know, they may be making movies of this in the future about this love story that was, you know, just never shown until later.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder if this is going to make the movie now of part of like, oh, Paige is now in a happy ending sort of thing.
Well, we know Patron is.
yeah,
it's a terrible if they do make the movie, I hope what's his name, the guy from Desperado, Banderas,
Antonio Banderas,
plays. Yeah, Antonio, I wish he played with, you know, I'd love to see him play Patron. And you know, and I think who we should get to play, you know, the other parts maybe is Xavier Woods and Brad Maddox are played by Goldust and R-Truth.
Yeah.
So we'll see. But yeah, I really am interested if that makes the movie. You know, I'm sure The Rock won't do that, though. He'll probably, you know, kind of keep it on about all the career part of it. So.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, we have some other things besides these two to talk about. I just want to throw that out there for everyone to kind of know what's going on. I'm sure there'll be more drama down the line. We'll be looking forward to it. You know, hopefully Rob Van Dam's not involved anywhere. Let's talk about, you know, what's going on with Eva Marie. Apparently, you know, she's still hanging around until her contract runs out. And WWE is not going to actually re-sign her. They're not even going to attempt it. They're just going to let her walk down free and do her own thing. And I'm sure it's probably a mutual feeling here, I would assume, guys. So, I mean, do you think this is good, bad? What do you think about this?
I mean, for as far as me watching WWTV every week, it's going to be kind of good not to have to see her try to wrestle anymore, obviously. She's taken away all the WWE mentions on her Twitter for a while now, but she's been doing movies and all these other things, so I mean, she's finding plenty of stuff to do to keep making a living outside of wrestling. So at least good for her on that. But there's always going to be that what could have been, because she was getting an insane amount of heat and all that stuff as far as on SmackDown. But I think it's an exploration I'm okay with being left wondering.
Yeah, she... was brought in as a total divas character, basically. And then she leaves without even really doing anything in the ring. So that kind of makes sense for her. Storybook ending, I guess you could say. But, I mean, like Paul said, she could have been a great valet, great manager for somebody. I don't know that the talent in the ring would have ever measured up, you know, to anything that we see now on a regular basis. But hey, at least she had that, right? I mean, there's so many guys that wish they could get the heat that even Marie did just by walking out there. That's not anything to sniff at, certainly. But she always seemed like her mind was elsewhere when it came to WWE. Like, she was there for it to launch her into other things. And, you know, I wonder too if, because just watching Total Divas and just kind of seeing that guy the way he was, he always kind of got involved, being her manager, he always got involved in a lot of things with her. And I feel like this is also kind of adding up for him, right? Like, this is making their relationship better and everything, because she's not on the road all the time, away from him, you know, and stuff like that. So there's obvious positives, various ways, if you look at it, for them. So I'm sure he is also happy about this, that she's not continuing on with the WWE thing.
Yeah, him and a lot of other people are thrilled about this. So, I mean, I hate to say it that way, but really, I don't know how far she would have went, and I don't know if her passion for wrestling there was really there as much as it was being on TV, getting some of the exposure. And I think she got that without even really having to be in, you know, in between the ropes as much, you know. So, you know, it's one of those stories where we'll say, you know, coulda, shoulda, woulda, you know, just don't know what, you know, would have happened though. But, you know, looking at this, let's look, you know, at another person that's involved with WWE, and that is Asuka. And she's actually progressing in the other direction. She's getting more involved and doing more and more. And we're actually seeing her over on SmackDown, you know, house shows and things like that, you know, kind of getting her work involved in other places besides NXT. And, you know, there have been rumors going all around, maybe post-WrestleMania she's going to be on one of these shows, Raw or SmackDown, and it's going to be a big debut and all this. Well, we're getting word now that really, honestly, that's not going to happen despite all her hard work on house shows. It's going to be a little bit longer before we actually get Asuka landing on the main roster. And Sean, I don't know, I kind of feel bummed about this for her, but then again, maybe they want to see more of her. And they want maybe her to have a better grasp of the English language, I'm wondering. I don't know.
I don't think that's going to happen in the time that we're talking about here. I think it's just, it's more about, even though I really think it's time for her, I think it's one of these rosters needs to shake up as far as a new person. And Asuka would be that person, I think, when you look at the NXT women's roster and who's been there long enough, and you know, Asuka's done everything she's gonna, I mean, you can't really get any more than as long as she's held the title, and she will probably elevate Ember Moon on TakeOver Orlando, and that will kind of set things in motion for her to be able to come up whenever they need her to, kind of like the Revival, where they're kind of just there. And they could come up at any moment, too. I think they're kind of just going to keep her down there until, I think we said, I said this before, when they do that women's tournament and they have a bigger influx of women there constantly. And we just saw, you know, Ruby Riott. We hadn't even seen, you know, Kimberly or any of the other ones show up yet. When we have the bigger influx of ladies, I think they'll feel much safer of letting Asuka come up, you know?
There's something to that, obviously, but at the same time, it the only thing I think really for her, if, and this is even if she does drop the belt now to Ember Moon, because I think that would be in question now, if they're not going to bring her up for Raw after WrestleMania, which seemed like a almost surefire definite. I think for a lot of us, if she does lose the title, you have to think it's a rematch and then put her over again and move on after that, or however they're going to go about doing this. It just feels, it feels really odd, because you would move from one bit strong babyface to another, I think, if you put it on Ember Moon and then move Asuka along, but maybe they just want to keep the variety. I don't know, but I find it interesting that they're doing this, and I think there's something to Gary's point too about maybe they want her English to be a little bit stronger, even though clearly I can't speak it. So who's to say?
It's a very hard language to speak, Paul. Trust me.
It's true. Words
we
are
all
hard.
Struggle. Yeah, very much. Especially when you're Texan and you're trying to learn, you know, because you got that Southern part still. So that's a joke, I know. it's go well to people that are not Texan. It's a joke because, you know, especially if you're over in the UK or Australia or somewhere else, you listen to us. The joke is we live in the States. Well, the state of Texas is always considered its own country. Sometimes it's not really, but people make fun and say it is because it's so big. But, you know. Anyway, moving past geography, I want to talk about something else that's kind of interesting, and this kind of relates to geography because it relates to Japan. Noah has a new team joining up in the Global Tag League, and that will be the New Bromans. Of course, one of those is Robbie E, but the other one is Bram. Ah, oh, wow, I never thought Bram would be a broman. Very odd, but here we are. That's kind of interesting here, Paul.
I'm interested because this seems like a giveaway for what where TNA is going, but how the heck do Robbie E and Bram become a tag team? That's where I'm scratching my head.
The only thing I can think of is literally it's, you know, Robbie says bro, and you have Bram saying man all the time, because other than that, those two, can you imagine Bram just coming out with, you know, the Robbie E music and or the bromance music, and, you know, they're bumping fists, and all of a sudden Bram's trying to be all Jersey Shore.
God. I couldn't picture it at all. It's that just kind of creeps me out in a way, to be honest with you. I mean, God, fall all the way from the Ascension to that. And I'm talking about the Ascension that was good. Mm-hmm. Oof, it's such a shame. But, you know, I'm nothing against Robbie E. He's fine. It's such a weird... that gimmick does not fit Bram at all. Like, I'm imagining, like you said, Sean, Robbie E's like, hey, bro. And then, you know, Bram's always like, man, I'm involved in this. But yeah, I mean, this is a tag team that's kind of unusual, but hey, I mean, I kind of like both these guys. I think they can work well together. I don't think they're going to go killer far in this tag league, but I think they could do some damage.
Don't get me wrong. I'm interested in the pairing just because more of how the heck is this going to work, but I Noah, I think, will do well enough. There's some other big, like, there's a lot of big teams in this, especially a lot of the bigger stars are pairing up with other bigger stars, so you have some super teams floating around, and they'll probably finish middle of the pack, I would assume, although it is possible they could end at the bottom, for all I know, whichever block they end up, but don't get me wrong, I am interested. Like, this is kind of cool, especially for Robbie E and Bram, who I don't think have ever worked Japan before. Granted, Robbie E's been wrestling for a lot longer, so I'm not for sure, but, good experience for them at the very least.
Yeah. Well, let's move over and talk really quickly about Ring of Honor real quick. We've heard some rumors over the past week, especially last week, about, you know, WWE and Ring of Honor together and the fact that WWE really wanted to buy out Ring of Honor and different things like that. Well, we're getting confirmation, and this is, of course, from a high-ranking Ring of Honor official through CBSSports.com that whole talk thing was really nothing, and it is not, you know, gonna happen. So if you were thinking it was never gonna happen, and you know, there are people that were really for it and a lot of people that were against it, but I mean, now that we know that this is confirmed, it's not happening. I mean, I'm kind of really curious what you think about this. Do you guys feel like that this is something that you wish would have happened, or something you're kind of like, oh, good, that's out of the way, it's not happening?
I'm happy for Ring of Honor simply because I think them continuing to exist is a good thing. They're a well-established indie. They give a lot of people a place to go to, especially if they don't particularly fit WWE or TNA's mold at this point. And it's very much a wrestling-driven show, and they have a great track record, of course, of producing and giving great talents a place to elevate themselves and hit that next level of their careers, as you see on WWE TV today. At least half of the main eventers nowadays are at least guys near the top of the card have all had a spell in Ring of Honor, and I think that speaks very highly of them. So I'm glad they get to continue to exist as their own entity. I would have been okay if it was just a deal for ROH TV to be on the network too, but I'm totally content with them being just Ring of Honor.
Yeah, it's better for wrestling as a whole. You know, it would not have been a great thing for wrestling if Ring of Honor just goes away. Less place for people to work. I mean, WWE would have got, you know, a whole host of talent that I think we would have liked to see them have. But then again, it's like, how much of that are they going to use? Even with NXT, it's like, you only got so many spots. Mm-hmm. And you still got the people that you've signed and everything, so it's a much better thing. I kind of, when, you know, we talked about it on Thursday, I kind of always didn't really think that it's truly going to happen. You know, it seemed more like one of those, oh, we're talking about it, and tomorrow it's going to be not real, and that's kind of what happened, really.
Yeah, and we were all kind of debating if is it real, could it happen, all those type of things. And, you know, it's easy for us to do that, but it also made me wonder really how the talent looked at it. You know, Ring of Honor talent may have been kind of a little excited, thinking about, man, it wouldn't take much for us to be a part of WWE television or some way, somehow, a part of the company. And I think a lot of the talent in WWE were looking at it saying, oh boy, more competition, more guys we've got to fit in here, and who's going to get what time and all that. And, you know, guys like, you know, Seth Rollins and Finn Balor were just thanking God that Kenny King wasn't adding to their roster. So, I should have said Dalton Castle, right, instead of Kenny King.
Kenny King is too worried about being on The Bachelorette. So
I know. It's so ridiculous, man. I'm sorry. Yeah, sorry. I'm still not watching that show. I don't care who's on there. Maybe I watched if Dalton Castle was on there. But
Could you imagine?
I'd rather see him on The Bachelor. So.
It's like, why do you have these two guys with you all the time? Fanning you.
Yeah, so that's why he worked better on The Bachelor, not The Bachelorette. So,
no, that would just be amazing.
It would be. It'd be beautiful, trust me.
Like, the girls or the guys could just never talk to Dalton Castle because the boys are always there in the way.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I would love it. Every time they need a seat, though, they'd always have one.
Yeah, exactly.
But anyway, we'll talk more about Dalton Castle. We'll also talk more about Ring of Honor. But before we jump into the actual Ring of Honor TV tapings from this week, I want to mention one last thing when it comes to news, and that is the fact that at WrestleMania week, Tuesday to Tuesday, this week, will be full of shows and events and so much going on. I think there's 36 shows that'll be taking place this week, Tuesday to Tuesday. They're also throwing Access in there. You're also talking about WrestleCon. You're talking about so many other things going on. Podcasts.
I think I saw a list of 105 events in total are going to be happening.
Insane. Oof.
Wow. Yeah, you can't do everything. This is just, you know, it's kind of almost like Disney World. You can't do everything. This is a super cool, but man, I don't know. It just be so hard to pick and choose what you want to do, man.
Yeah, this is insanely much higher show count than anything that was happening here in Dallas, and I thought Dallas was already pretty much full to bursting at the seams with wrestling shows. But I mean, there's big name indies. There's, you know, Evolve, Ring of Honor, Combat Zone, Chikara. If you're into the British stuff, Progress, Rev Pro, Shimmer. The list goes on. There's local outfits putting on shows across the whole weekend. I know there's one who's doing seminars. Like, there's a whole bunch of seminars out there for guys. So if you're a wrestler or looking to break in or whatever, you can go to those. There's more parties. There's podcasts aplenty. I think all the major league or MLW network shows are at least doing something out there. The list.
You got the Walleye Mania thing.
Yeah. Which I think has another podcast after the concert, too. Like, the amount of stuff to do out there, just outside of it already being Orlando, you know, with there's already a lot to do there. Now you throw in all the wrestling stuff, like, where do you find time to sleep? There's shows happening. I mean, Wrestle Circus and Pro Wrestling Revolver are putting on a joint show at midnight after WrestleMania, and that's already 6 hours of wrestling at that day, just in that one show. So
God bless you if you can watch WrestleMania in full, get out there in time and stay up for that too, because I don't know if I could do that. That's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, there's midnight shows I think across the board too. Combat Zone is at midnight. I know Kaiju Big Battle is at midnight. Like, there's literally from the moment you wake up to the moment you go to sleep, you can watch wrestling. That's pretty kick-ass.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. It's just, you know, how much energy drink do you need, you know, yeah, to make it? How much coffee do you need to live and breathe as you're getting through all this wrestling? You know, it's great. It's exciting. But, man, I mean, there's only so many hours in the day, and oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you're probably going to go to like one of these shows and go, why are half the people on the floor asleep?
And that's an Impact. But anyway, I'm kidding, Impact. I love you. We'll find out on Thursday.
Whoa, those are some strong words there, Gary.
What? Oh, love, you're right.
I don't know that I would associate love with Impact. But
I was just trying not to get sued. Jeff Jarrett's a little touchy these days. But anyway. But yeah, I mean, there's so much going on. So if you're going and you're taking the trip and you're going to Orlando, I'm excited for you. We hope you have the time of your life. I know Chris Limshi is going to make that, you know, trip, and we're really looking forward to having him on the ground in Orlando, and he's going to be trying to contact us and call in and all that stuff. We'll see. Hopefully that will be able to take place. I know the man's busy, so if he doesn't do it, I don't blame him at all. But yeah, we hope you have a great time out there too. So, and of course, if you want to get our WrestleMania predictions and all that stuff, don't forget, that's going to be on our second episode this week. Just a reminder in case you keep waiting around. But we are going to have some great content left. We have to talk Ring of Honor, and then after that, we're going to talk some Ring of Honor Super Card of Honor. So, yeah, let's go ahead and do that, Paul. Let's jump into the TV taping first.
Let us do so. So Ring of Honor opens with a recap of the world title match happenings at the 15th anniversary show, as we're finally getting to the tapings that took place after the pay-per-view. And then the Addiction come out to open the show. Daniels mix up some apple teenies. The crowd is going nuts for him. Kazarian introduces him, and it feels right, you know? It feels like everything is right in their world. Daniel says he won despite Cole being stronger, faster, all these other things. Daniel won because he was smarter. And Kazarian, of course, says that he has his own goals and aspirations. Of course, he won the TV title shot at the 15th anniversary show. All that comes screeching to a halt, though. Because Dalton Castle comes out. He has the ROH World title match this Saturday at Supercard of Honor. Out in, I believe it's Lakeview, Florida, which isn't too far outside of Orlando. And all three of them end up having some of the apple teenies. And it's Dalton's reaction to drinking one is just hilarious. Like, it's perfect. and says he doesn't envy Daniels for having to wrestle him this weekend. Kazarian mocks Dalton a little bit, and then out comes Adam Cole and the Young Bucks. Cole wants his title rematch because he believes the Addiction screwed him out of the title, and he's technically right. Cole then runs down Dalton and says that him being the ROH champion is just laughable. He wants the match instead of Dalton this weekend. That, of course, is not happening, but Kazarian decides to challenge them, Adam Cole and the Young Bucks, to a six-man tag against the Addiction and Dalton Castle, which ends up becoming your main event for the evening. This was a very lengthy opening segment, and that's really out of character for ROH, which I felt like felt different for them. But then again, we see this every week, too, across most of the wrestling shows we watch. So I thought this was fine, mostly.
Yeah, I mean, it was entertaining. I will say that it was not boring. You know, sometimes when they do these celebrations, you just want to, you know, start to think about other things, lose a little interest because it's just it's ho hum, boring, whatever. But no, this was fine. Actually, I enjoyed it for what it was worth. I'll say this: you know, Dalton Castle's reaction to the apple teeny really made me want some. And, I mean, I thought to myself as well as, man, Burger King, pay attention. This guy can really react to drinks and food. Maybe you want to put this kind of commercial. So, I mean, I really, you know, and it didn't make me thirsty, to be honest with you. I was like, man, I want one. I'm jealous. So the celebration thing was hilarious. It was fun. It was a good time. And then, of course, you had the Bullet Club guys coming out, Adam Cole and the Young Bucks. And all that ensues is good. I think it all made sense in the end. So I was happy with it. I mean, I think that they did a pretty good job here. And I appreciate that they gave you defined paths for both Christopher Daniels and Kazarian. Because you often wonder, oh, you know, Daniels has got the, you know, the Ring of Honor World Heavyweight Championship. But that makes, cause, you know, Kazarian's going to be left out in the cold. He's going to be jealous. No, no, no. They give you exact reason why he's not. So I like that.
Yeah, and during that promo, too, they also say that they're always going to be buds. So that's what's most important from all that. We move on. Marty Scurll gets a promo talking about how he came to ROH looking for competition, but everybody he's come up against has fallen short against him, as his reign as TV champion has been incredible. All these other things. Kenny King shows up after he finishes up with the promo, says that Scurll is just like Ring of Honor. They continue to undervalue and underestimate himself in the Rebellion. So Kenny challenges Marty to a match. Marty accepts, and we'll see them at some point. They don't give us a date for the match. Then we get the Ring of Honor World Tag Team title match between the Hardys defending against the Briscoes. I thought this was a little long in the tooth for my taste. It's still very good that the story of the match is that they keep finding ways to reverse out of each other's big moves, like the J-Driller or the Twist of Fate or whatever else they throw at you. The Hardys, however, finally win. They hit Mark with the Twist of Fate Swanton Bomb combo. He kicks out, but he ends up falling prey to a backslide Jeff Hardy, that leg pin that he does all the time. I don't know if there's an actual name for it or not, but I thought this was fine overall. After the match, the Bucks come out. They challenge the Hardys to a ladder match at Supercard of Honor. The Hardys, of course, accept. And so you have that going for you. What'd you think about all this, though, Gary?
Just to start out with Marty Scurll and Kenny King, I think that worked out okay. I mean, I'm not saying I'm super stoked about the match itself. It'll be fine. Mm-hmm. But I thought it was an intriguing pairing here because I just, you know, Kenny King has such a different attitude than Marty Scurll. And Scurll's more of a, I hate to, weird to say, but more of a, you know, comic book character in a way, mm-hmm. if I can use that, because he's kind of quirky yet menacing. Whereas Kenny King is more of a in your face, you know, straight off, you know, out of the, you know, the streets, you know, because he's tough. He's, you know, he's seen a lot of things in his day. So I think that the pairing is kind of different, but that may actually be what makes it great. You know, it makes it exciting. But I don't know. I think they did a pretty decent job here. Not anything out of this world. I do want to say about the match, though, itself between the Briscoes and Hardys. I think they put on a decent showing. I think that they kind of did what you expected. I don't know if you got anything or lost anything or gained anything by watching this, but at least you got a pretty good match out of it. And so I was happy with it. I think the really, let's be honest, the last 2 minutes of the match were really what you wanted to see. The rest of it, the length of it, really, yeah, there's just kind of there. It just kind of, you know, like Paul said, long in the tooth. And in the Young Bucks stuff, I mean, it makes sense. We've been waiting for it, you know, for them to call them out, and they finally did that. So, you know, just something else added to the Supercard of Honor.
Absolutely. Main event is that 6-man match I mentioned earlier. I thought this was super fun. You have, all of course, the Young Bucks and Adam Cole doing all the big dives and all the super kicks and the Addiction and Dalton Castle more and hold up their end. Castle just absolutely suplexing everybody, I thought was great. He gets the big pin by hitting the Bangarang on Adam Cole. So he beats the former champion and gets a lot of momentum going to Supercard of Honor this weekend. I would recommend this to anybody, too. It's a great match. I wouldn't say it was as good as Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn on Raw, but it was quite entertaining.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, there's lots of spots here that are just funny, exciting, and just overall entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if you're looking for a fun match to watch, this is it. I mean, I think that they put a pretty decent showing on here in the main event, and I was pretty okay with it. You know, I felt like that they gave you what they needed to, and especially being the last match on the show, I think it was solid. So, very happy with that. I think everything they've done here, it really honestly makes sense. It, you know, takes a path that, you know, really explains what they're trying to do. I think all of this stuff really on the show did that. Nothing was just left up in the air. A lot of it had a goal in mind. So, mm-hmm. I was very happy with the main event and really, honestly, the rest of the show.
Yeah. That's your Ring of Honor TV for the week. Pretty simple, cut and dry. Leading into Supercard of Honor, which is this Saturday, of course, like I mentioned. It will be on iPay-Per-View through Ring of Honor's website and Fight TV. So if you're stuck at home or you're doing one of a million other things and you still want to watch the Card of Honor, you can. So we're going to go ahead and review this bad boy and give some predictions and all that good stuff. The first match on here, at least that I saw, was The Kingdom, Matt Taven, and Vinny Marseglia. TK Orion, of course, is still healing after shattering his shin on a guardrail after a very over-exuberant moonsault on the 15th anniversary show. They're taking on the Beer City Bruiser and Silas Young. Should be a fun match. I would lean more towards Silas and Beer City Bruiser getting the win here, but this could really go either way.
Yeah. And who is their third tag team partner? Have they announced that yet?
This is a straight-up tag match, no six-man.
Okay, so this is the Kingdom versus just these two guys. Okay.
Correct.
Wow, okay. So I thought they were going for the... I guess that's later. That's another pay-per-view. I was kind of surprised because I thought they were announcing that, but I didn't realize that. I think that you're right. I think the Beer City Bruiser and Silas Young probably are up for the win because this is not, you know, for the Trios title. I think that, you know, really when you look at this, that they really have some momentum going with Silas Young and the Beer City Bruiser. So I'm with you on that. Now, the Kingdom is great. I think the Kingdom is going to have success, but I think really what they're geared towards is their titles and not so much just winning just regular tag matches.
Right. And whenever TK does heal up and all that, I'm sure if once they decide to either move past the six man or something like that, you have Taven and TK and Vinny pretty much geared to go after the other titles too, the world title and the tag belts too, which with the way they're losing talent in Ring of Honor might be happening much sooner than later, so.
Oof.
Yeah.
Scary.
Yeah. Frankie Kazarian takes on Punishment Martinez one-on-one. This could actually be pretty good. I've enjoyed Punishment for the most part in the last couple of weeks that I've seen him, especially since the babyface turn. I would pick Frankie to win here, but obviously you can't sell out the big man.
Trust me, I would love Punishment Martinez to win. I really love this guy. He's a guy that I followed for a little while now, and I think he's got a lot of potential. But is he going to beat Frankie? No, not going to happen. I'm sorry. Frankie's a veteran that's been around the block. No way he's going to win. If he does, it's going to be a huge surprise for me, and I'll be thrilled. But I just don't see it. I think Frankie Kazarian takes this victory.
Yeah, especially in lieu of the next match being the Ring of Honor TV title match, as Marty Scurll defends against Adam Cole, who has decided to challenge for other championship opportunities, seeing as he can't get a world title match yet. I would think Marty retains here, too. Mostly because, you know, Adam Cole is obviously way above the TV title, but I think they like Marty in this role, too. He can have all the big matches, and it makes the TV title continue to feel important.
And this is interesting for the fact that, I mean, you've got Adam Cole, one of the biggest heels, facing off against your mid-card heel.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of weird. Kind of makes you wonder how this is going to work out. In the end, though, I agree with you. I think Marty Scurll wins. Whether it be nefarious means, whether it be just, you know, count out or something. At the end of this match, it's going to be Marty Scurll still your TV champion.
Yeah. And then we get this big tag team match, which has the potential to be incredibly exciting. Dragon Lee teams up with Jay White to take on CMLL's Valador Jr. and Will Ospreay. And, I mean, prepare to just discard your chairs because you're probably going to be standing, if you're watching this live, the whole time with how many flippies are going to be going on in this. I'm going to lean towards Valador and Ospreay getting the win. But that other side is quite, you know, strong too, and Dragon Lee and Jay White, who ROH loves to bits too.
Yeah, and that's who I'm going to pick. I'm going to pick White and Lee here. I think that they're exciting. I think that, you know, I for me personally, I think they're the team that should win. So yeah. I'm going to go with them.
I think that's more than fair. Then the Briscoes will team up with Bully Ray. To face off against the Gorillas of Destiny and Hangman Page, who are making up the Bullet Club here. The interesting part about this is, I don't know if either of you know this, but Bully Ray and D-Von ended up training for the most part, the Gorillas of Destiny, or at least Tama Tonga, before he ended up in New Japan. So that's kind of cool for him. This should actually end up being a pretty decent match. I don't, you know, feelings on Tonga Loa aside, everybody else in this can work. So.
Yeah, I mean, this one's going to be really interesting. I kind of feel like, you know, it's one of those where I'm just, you know, on the edge of saying, man, hey, you know, who can I, you know, really, you know, get behind here? I mean, and who did you choose?
I didn't. I'm going to pick Briscoes and Bully Ray to win.
The reason I was asking that was because I was kind of curious your direction on this, because I think Briscoes and Bully Ray, you know, being the one that people will be behind, people will be excited about, I think is great. But on the other hand, you've got, you know, the situation with the Gorillas and all that, and, you know, the fact that they're kind of brought into this whole mix. I think it'd be very interesting if they did win, but I don't think it's going to happen. I think Bully Ray, the way that they brought him in, they want him to win. I think they want him to lead and to be a big part of this. But on the other hand, I wouldn't have a problem with Bully Ray and the Briscoes losing, to be honest with you. I think it wouldn't hurt a bit at all to do that. But I don't know. I just think it's hard for me to believe that, you know, Bully Ray and the Briscoes are going to lose this.
Yeah. I'm right there with you. As much as I love the Gorillas of Death, Tama Tonga mostly, and Paige for sure. I'm sure they'll have a good showing in all this, because, like I said, you got a lot of guys in here who can work, and Bully Ray and G.O.D. are going to gel pretty well together, and so will the Briscoes and Grills. So, I look forward to this being a pretty solid match.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Next, you could wager this is the first of your three main events, as Cody and Jay Lethal will square off in the Texas Bull Rope match. I'm actually kind of excited for this. I'm really interested to see what both these guys are going to do. I would wager that Jay Lethal gets his revenge here, but this could honestly go either way, because I don't know if they're going to keep this going or not.
Well, I just want to know if it's the actual cowbell on the rope that Dusty used to use.
Cody's, they had the promo a couple weeks back on Ring of Honor TV where he seemed to have the cowbell that was used by Dusty, but I don't know if obviously that's true or not, but the sentiment is there.
And it's a really cool sentiment. And, you know, with even now, without thinking about that, really, the way this all should work out is a great match. I think both these guys have a lot to offer. Cody Rhodes is a guy that we've seen do a lot of great things, but when it comes against a guy like Jay Lethal, who, I mean, is so athletic and has so much to offer, I think it's just, you know, two plans colliding. I think it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. I think I'm going to go with Cody Rhodes here, though. I think Cody Rhodes, you know, even if it does continue this whole feud, has really been on a streak here in a way and has really done a lot of, you know, positive things for himself, even though it's negative for everyone else. Whereas, really, Jay Lethal, the nicer of a guy he's become, the more he loses.
Mm. That is very true. Like I said, I just, with Cody's schedule and all these other things going around, I really don't know if they're going to do this again or if they're going to keep this going or how it's all going to work out. So I'm leaning more towards Jay, just more out of safety than anything. But like I said, either way, I think, you know, it's going to be another good match. I would wager the tag titles are going to main event now, especially with it being a ladder match. So let's do Christopher Daniels defending the ROH world title against Dalton Castle. I'm actually very interested in matches. It's a styles clash for sure. Daniels, however, can work with anybody. Dalton Castle is also a phenomenal worker. And I'm interested to see, like, the ROH world title formula. Usually you get a lot of time, and you have these sort of Japanese play on it where you get the slow build all the way up to the big crescendo at the end. I'm really interested to see how they go about doing that. But Daniels, for sure, I think retains.
Yeah, I think it's kind of hard to pick against Daniels in this. Mm. Now, is Dalton Castle, you know, arguably, you know, probably one of the best talents and has, you know, honestly, one of the greatest potentials to be the Ring of Honor champion? I think so. It's just, I think this is not his time yet. I think Christopher Daniels, you know, still young and at least with having the title, even though he's old, mm-hmm. at least his time with the title is young, and I don't think they're going to cut that short right now. I think Christopher Daniels is going to continue on and do some good things. So I think this is going to be a fun match to watch. I really, really do. I'm really looking forward to it. I think these guys are going to have a lot to offer in the ring. I think you're going to get a little comedy here and there. And, you know, I think it's going to be something that will make us all pleased by the end.
Yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly. And then we have the ladder match. ROH World Tag Team Titles on the line as the Hardys defend against the Young Bucks. If you believe the internet, this is the Hardys' last date. So I wager the Young Bucks win him back in a stellar fashion. But yeah, I this match will surely be maybe one of the best matches out of the entire week of all those shows we just talked about. So and there's a lot of them that are going to be going down. So
yeah, you know what? This is going to be another match that I'm really looking forward to. I can't wait to see all the different nutty things the Young Bucks have to offer, you know, and to bring into this match. And then Matt and Jeff, I mean, they are just hilarious. They do their own thing. I know they can't really pull off the gimmick like they want with the whole broken thing, but they still use it. They still have a lot of fun. And I think in the end, we're going to get something that's super cool, super exciting to watch. But yeah, I kind of feel like the Young Bucks are going to win. I think it has a lot to do with those super kick championships. Mm-hmm. I think it really has a lot of motivation behind the Young Bucks winning, and I think that could lead on to, you know, of course, the Hardys losing their tag belt. So is it weird to say that I don't know the future of the Hardys and think that could be part of this, or just the fact that maybe it's okay that the Hardys don't keep the titles, even if they're not moving on to another company? And I think it works out great that way anyway. So I think it's pretty solid.
Yeah. I mean, the Young Bucks pretty much, with all the talent leaving, even before that, are either the top draw or one of the top draws. There's no shame in hotshotting the belts back to them after the 15th the Manhattan Mayhem show. So, that's your Supercard of Honor card. I don't know if we'll ever get a chance to review it or not, but it certainly is out there for the watching, as well as so many more. Of course, all the WWN Live stuff will be either on WWNLive.com or FlowSlam, and WrestleCon stuff will end up on High Spots at some point. All sorts of different ways to watch wrestling going down this week.
Trust me, and you know there's been plenty of it, so you don't want to miss a minute of it. Of course, you know, like we talked about before, we're going to cover as much wrestling this week as we possibly can. Of course, we're going to give you all our review shows as normal, which is Raw, SmackDown Live, 205 Live, NXT. All those shows will be available to you guys. Don't miss them. They're going to be so important because of the fact that we're going to be getting into a lot of things leading up to WrestleMania. Of course, TakeOver Orlando will be happening also this weekend on Saturday night. So you have a full slate of great shows like that, plus these shows, Wrestling to the Max Episode 1, which you know you've concluded here with, and Part 2 will be on Friday morning on the download for everyone when they want to go check that out. That'll include our WrestleMania preview along with our NXT Orlando preview. So that's going to be a huge show. I cannot wait for it. It's going to be one of those where we're going to be really getting into a lot of big things. So trust me, don't miss that show. And of course, hey, the best way to find all those shows is W2Mnet.com. Along with the other great written content that we have to offer, we'll probably be doing a WrestleMania 33 roundtable that you're going to want to go read. So trust me, go check it out. Also, don't forget, if you want to go subscribe to Wrestling to the Max if you just want our content. If you want all the content that's on W2Mnet.com, though, make sure you go to the W2M Network and go subscribe there, and that'll give you all the great content that the website has to offer. So there's a lot of cool stuff going on. We just want to be a part of it.
We made our debut on the Radlinson Broadcasting Network this weekend, too.
Oh, that's awesome. Wow. That's super cool. So there you go. I mean, if you know you're listening to us via that, you know, the Rattledge Broadcasting, we appreciate you checking us out maybe for the first time. It's really cool to have you on board with us, and we're excited about this new partnership. It's really, really cool. But besides that, I want to do one last shout out, and that is to a guy that really helped this show be born. and it's his birthday, and I know it technically was yesterday, but we, you know, still consider it, you know, to be his birthday, and that's Mr. David Martell. He's a guy that's a good friend of all three of us, and we, you know, appreciate him because he kind of helped spur this whole podcast. So, you know, congratulations and a happy birthday to him. He's a sexy beast, so that's, you know, what I've always called him. So, but anyway, guys, well, thanks a lot for joining us tonight. Of course, you know, once again, we'll be catching you guys on Friday morning on the download. Don't forget to go check out the review shows as well. Until next time, if you're not living life to the max.
Not living life at all.
You know it.
Please.
Later.